Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. This is the post-draft edition. I'm Mark Cook, along with longtime publisher and our resident old man, Mr. Scott Reynolds.
Hi, yo.
And our young buck with the man bun himself, Mr. Trevor Sycamo. What shirt are you wearing today?
It's a Gator shirt. It's like the faded one.
Oh, nice. Not really. Blue and orange are just two colors that should not go together. That's just a bad look. It's just a bad look.
It's not even true.
No, it really is.
Stop lying to the people.
No, it really is true.
Felt weird to hear you say post-draft edition.
You thought I was going to say post-Malone edition?
No, well, that would have been better.
I don't even know what that means.
I think every new album podcast we've done since January has had a draft type of
and now
theme
it's like after,
it. Yeah.
You know? It's just weird.
Yes.
I mean, we're still going to talk about the draft on this podcast.
Of course,
don't get me wrong,
yes.
But it's just weird to, people have been saying to me, hey, are you happy that it's over? I'm like, I don't know. It hadn't really hit me. I don't know.
Yeah,
the last 4 months, I just think draft, so it's not like, oh, yeah, I get to turn it off now.
Right.
You know? I cringe when I go to the grocery store because I'm afraid someone's still going to ask me who the Bucks going to draft.
Well, they're going to ask you, what do you think of the Bucks draft?
Well, that's
what's happened to me.
You know what my standard answer is to people, like, you know, family and friends? I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I don't even get into it. I'm so talked out on it. I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. You know, I don't know.
We will see.
And anyway, we will see. And really, look, we can sit here and give grades as we've done. We can write stories of roundup of other pundits and what they thought of it with grades.
Which
we've also done. But again, nobody knows. It all sounds good. Looks good on paper. What I like, something that I thought was funny, what Jason Light said on Saturday when it was all wrapped up. Somebody asked how you think you did, and he goes, well, I've yet to hear a general manager stand up here at a podium after the draft and say, yeah, we really sucked at this one, you know, or whatever, something. I was paraphrasing, but it's true. I mean, you always feel that you hit, you know, some home runs in the draft.
Supposedly, every team gets better. That's kind of the general prevailing wisdom of the draft is like, okay, everybody got better, you know, across the league. I mean, except for Cleveland.
Except for the Raiders.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like Cleveland
got a lot
worse.
Cleveland got a lot better.
They got worse. So this year, Cleveland has to get better. I mean, unless they're going to go 0-16 again, which I don't see how they can do that.
What if they lose to the Bucs?
Do they play the Browns?
You mean what if the Browns lose to the Bucs?
Yeah.
Well,
no. What if the Bucs lose to the Browns?
Do they play the Browns?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Where have you been?
I'm sorry. I haven't even. I'm like, again, draft. Yes. Like, wait, is it in Cleveland or is
it
here?
No,
it's in Tampa.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Bucks will be 2 points.
I was going to say, oh, man, I want to go to Cleveland, but no one's ever said, oh, man, I want to go to Cleveland. So right. I wasn't about to be the first.
I will say this. I went to Cleveland a few years ago for the Bucks and Browns. I can't even remember. That was Mike Glennon's starting game.
Yeah.
Cleveland fans, and, you know, you talk about tradition in stadiums and different things, and I've been to Green Bay, and I've been to Minnesota, and I've been to Atlanta. I haven't been to New Orleans, but you know, and I haven't been to Dallas or New York, some of those storied franchises. But I will say this about Cleveland fans. They were awful that year. They'd still beat the Buccaneers in that game. But they are passionate fans. It was cold. Mm-hmm. It was overcast. It was windy. It was rainy. Stadium was packed.
Yep.
It was loud.
They love the Browns.
They love their Browns, man. And, you know, as bad as they are, and you've got to be a sucker for punishment to be a Browns fan. But let's be honest. The last 10 years, you got to be a sucker for punishment, too, to be a Buccaneer fan because they've disappointed. But
I genuinely think the Browns got better this offseason. I mean, I would be very surprised if they won more than six games.
Right.
But I think that they've taken a step in the right direction. We'll see how Baker Mayfield does as their starting quarterback. But
Does he start week one?
You know, they have Tyrod Taylor, but at the same time, I think Baker's probably going to make a run for that job in training camp.
When did we rebrand to the Browns Pewter Nation podcast?
Well, I mean, they're a better team.
You asked what happens if the Bucks lose to the Browns. Yeah. Well, it would be awful.
Yeah.
It's like LSU losing to Troy, right? I think that was the homecoming game. Right?
Yes.
Right.
And then you lose to Troy.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, like Florida losing Georgia Southern. There, I set the joke for you. Okay,
hey-o.
Move on. All right, let's go.
Without one completed pass by Georgia Southern in that game.
Yeah, but they had Jared McKinnon.
They were 0-2.
Who then the Bucks wanted. So it comes full circle.
That's true. All right, so the draft is finally over, and we've had a few days to kind of process things and
Are
take a look at it.
Are you over the fact
right.
that Derwin James?
Have you had a few
this
days
is the big
process?
Question.
again,
you over the fact that Derwin James is not a Buccaneer right
look,
now.
Look, it wasn't so much that it wasn't Derwin James. It was more, I was more disappointed in the fact that it was Vita Vea. Now, I'll say this. A couple months ago, Scott, you had him in the mock, and people were like, you guys are crazy. There's no way.
He was in two mocks. He was in 2 and 3, mm-hmm. and then we switched to Derwin with 4, and we were waffling between Vea and Derwin James over the weekend. I actually wrote it as Vita Vea and then changed my mind and wrote it as Derwin James.
We had a lengthy, Scott and I had a lengthy phone call for about 45 minutes.
It literally came almost down to like a coin flip.
What the pick was going to be. And we went over the pros and cons of how it could be, how it could not.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was the same discussion the Buccaneers were having because we know the Buccaneers you know, like Derwin James a lot.
Yes. For a fact, we know that. If Vita Vea was gone, like let's say, for example, they trade down from 7 to 12, and
let's say the Redskins jump up.
The Redskins jump up and get him, okay? Then Derwin James was going to be the pick. It was not going to be Minka Fitzpatrick. It was not going to be anybody else. It was going to be Derwin James. So those were the two guys. And again, like our job as reporters is to give you guys, the Buccaneer fans, the PewterReport.com readers, as much information as we know. We gain information, pass it along to you guys. Right. And I think we did an exhaustive job on this draft, from East-West Shrine to Senior Bowl to Combine to Pro Days to just the research we put in. And I think that was reflected in the fact that we, back on January 29th, had Vita Vea as the first round pick for the Buccaneers in our mock. And we were getting laughed at, eyebrows raised, ridiculed, a look of bewilderment from some Buccaneer fans, but that was the information that we had at the time.
And my point was,
it ended up being right in the end.
In that first mock, when people were giving us crap about it, I actually defended the mock. I did watch the tape. I saw the need at the time.
It certainly made more sense back then because there was no Bo Allen and Mitch Unrein and all that.
See, that's what people, they think, you know, and I even had another writer say, you got to get off this Florida State thing. Look, I did not advocate for Josh Sweat, for Matthew Thomas, for Trey Marshall, for Roberto Aguayo. I mean, there's been three guys, right? Jameis Winston. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He was the best quarterback in the draft, in my opinion. Didn't matter if he would have played University of Florida.
He
would have been my
guy.
All
five mock drafts, number one to the Buccaneers that year.
I liked Dalvin Cook last year. Guess what? So did the Buccaneers. Yep. Guess who would have been there if O.J. Howard wasn't the pick?
Dalvin Cook.
I mean, so again, I'm not just grasping at Florida State names because I'm a Florida State fan, like Trevor did when he wanted Eddie Pinero. But
still doing a good pick.
Did he get drafted?
No, he got signed as an undrafted free agent by the Raiders.
Didn't we make a bet?
Did we?
I don't know.
If someone can go back and find it, we made a bet for a sandwich.
Yeah, we did about that. And I won, but here's the deal. I wasn't so upset that it wasn't Derwin James because he's a Florida State guy. I'll be honest. I still believe a safety would have been a better pick there. Whether Fitzpatrick would have been available.
He's an instant starter. He's an instant every down starter. Derwin James.
Yes,
he's an instant every down starter. You pair him with Josh Evans. And
Justin.
I'm sorry, Justin Evans. And those are your guys, right? Like, that's your secondary, and I get that. The Buccaneers believe that Vita Vea is going to be a Pro Bowl defensive tackle like Haloti Ngata. They believe that Derwin James is going to be a Pro Bowl safety. That was the thinking. And listen, I said it on draft day. I'll say it again. I was wrong for saying that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were not going to trade down. And the reason for that was because the thinking, as it was explained to me by members of the organization, was that they were going to pick one of those two guys at number 7 if one of the top three didn't fall. They felt that no matter what, they were going to get a Pro Bowl guy at number 7.
Yeah.
When all that changed was when Denzel Ward went number 4 overall to Cleveland.
Right.
When that happened, and only two quarterbacks were taken before Tampa Bay, that's what changed the whole thing because that allowed the math to work out where if they traded down with Buffalo to 12, that there would be two quarterbacks taken in that mix, number 7 and then
number 10, Rosen.
Okay, and mathematically it was going to work out to where they would have either Vita Vea or Derwin James at 12. If that didn't happen, if there was three quarterbacks taken ahead and Buffalo was going to trade up to number 7 and get the fourth quarterback, whoever that was going to be, then I think the Buccaneers would have had a better chance of sticking and picking because they did not want to lose out on both of those guys.
Right.
I think the biggest applause for the Bucs scouting department or whatever might have not even been on a player, but we talked about this on the live stream. The intel that they had about what the other teams in the NFL were doing,
yes,
I think was just as much a part of coming up with the class that they had as anything else.
Agreed.
Because, mm-hmm. like you said, you know, I mean, you were telling us, the people that you talked to in the Buccaneers organization, it did not look like they were going to trade down until they put it all together and they got their hints and their clues and everything, and they were like, look, if we trade back to 12, both of them, we think both of them, at least one of them
exactly.
is going to still be there. And that's why you pull the trigger. And that's the sign of a good GM.
That's exactly right. That's a great point.
Then they got the 2 second-round picks. Mm-hmm. They fixed two more needs there. They were able to move up and back. So instead of having the number 7 overall pick, if you look at it in a linear sense, the Bucs traded number 7 overall, which ended up being Josh Allen.
Right.
For who they really got, which was Vea at 12.
Which is who they wanted at 7.
MJ Stewart.
Yep.
Carlton Davis. Ronald. Jordan Whitehead.
Because
Kappa was the one before. They got those four guys out of the same pick that the Bills used on Josh Allen.
Yeah. They should have drafted Josh Allen. Bucks should have.
Yikes.
I mean,
they already got all their tight ends.
Quarterback.
Man.
I'm telling you right now, I've said it, and if I'm wrong, I'll again be the first one to admit it. Josh Allen is the second coming of Josh Freeman.
He was my opinion. I'm not the draft gurus like you guys, but he was easily the lowest of my guys.
Yes.
I mean, I would have taken Rosen all day long, and I mean, even Mayfield. I really like Mayfield. Mayfield and Rosen were my two guys. Then Darnold. Then. You know, then Allen. I'd be honest with you, I would have taken Lamar Jackson because I think the upside
in
the way he can
I had Lamar above an
offense
above Allen.
I would have taken him above Allen. But anyway, where did Allen end up going?
He ended up going 30. You mean Jackson?
I know Jackson went to Baltimore, but 32. where did Allen end up going?
Allen went 7 to the Bills.
That's right, the Bills. That's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the wrong quarterback.
You know what was awful
is
that
if you draft Josh Rosen there at 7,
that's better. Great pick.
To me, it's not even a question, but anyway, whatever. Again, all right, and that's the last I'm going to say about the Derwin Vea thing. Listen, I have nothing against Vita Vea. I see the animal he is. I see all the athleticism and things that he has. I've just got, you know, my whole thing was, again, had they not addressed the defensive line in free agency, and I don't mean just Bo Allen and Mitch Unrein, I'm talking about JPP and Vinnie Curry, which I think also makes that entire – everybody talks about, well, you know, Vita Vea is going to make JPP better and so on and so forth. Listen, JPP was going to make Gerald McCoy better.
Right.
Was going to make Clint McDonald, if he would have been re-signed here, better. And it was going to make Bo Allen better and Mitch Unrein and whoever else they may have on the roster. But I just there's still, to me, one – glaring need on this football team, one position,
which is
the one they didn't draft. I mean, that's not true. They did take a safety later on. I'm talking about, but I still think they need help at the safety position. Well,
Whitehead is going to get a shot. They also got Gordon Igwebike from Northwestern, who I think has a legit chance
to
contend.
Not day one starter. No way. I mean.
We'll see.
Safety. God.
Are they
going to
be
you
as talented as Derwin James?
Is
Jordan Whitehead or Gordon Igwebike, or even if they move MJ Stewart inside to safety, which
I don't think they're doing that.
Well, I don't think so, but they could. He was a slot guy, almost played safety to a degree. Are they going to be as good as Derwin James? No, they're not. But will they be competent starters and potential upgrades eventually over Chris Conte or Keith Tandy? Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, but again, we'll those are maybes. We know Derwin James was going to be an upgrade.
Yep.
We know, and we know Derwin James is going to be next to Justin Evans in that secondary for the next 10 years.
Agreed.
But
we also know that Gerald McCoy is 30. He's not going to play forever. He's got a huge $13 million cap hit next year.
This is a question I've been wanting to ask. Is Vita Vea He's not a three technique.
He's not. He's
we keep
not McCoy's
talking about
replacement.
Gerald McCoy, he's and not. I even said that. I said unless they're getting rid of Gerald after this year, there's no sense. This pick makes no sense. But then I started thinking, wait a second, he's not Aaron Donald. He's not Gerald McCoy. That's not his game. No.
He's not that type of player. Okay, he's not that quick upfield penetrating type player. In this day and age, though, and what you're seeing, and listen, I know Gerald sacks have been going down, and I think that's not only just a function of not having any help on the outside, having to fight through double teams, and the fact that age and injury are taking their toll. But at the same time, it's like, I'll remind you, Warren Sapp lost out on the sack race, I want to say in 2000, to Leroy Glover, the Saints defensive tackle, who had 17 sacks as a defensive tackle. Sapp had 16 sacks, 16 and a half sacks, or 16, whatever it was. It was like right behind Leroy Selman. And the point is with the passing game going to so much more of a quick hitting, slants, smoke routes, jet routes, whatever you want to call them, to get the ball out of quarterback's hands more quickly using the running backs as an extension of the passing game, catching the ball out of the backfield and getting 3 or 4 yards. It's basically like a run. But we're not seeing the 7-step drops that get quarterbacks killed and put pressures on offensive line anymore.
Unless it's Dirk Cutter's offense.
Well, true. But the thing is you're not going to see outside of a freakish guy like Aaron Donald or maybe Ed Oliver when he comes in the league is that type of a player where there's just so much suddenness and speed to get upfield that you're not going to have probably a 12-sack guy at defensive tackle. And therefore, having a guy like Vita Vea that can occupy some double teams. One of the first guys, by the way, to reach out on Twitter was Quan Alexander. Mm-hmm. Quan Alexander is the happiest guy at one buck in your place because he knows that he's never going to have a guard coming out at him when Vita Vea is in there because he will occupy a guard in the center.
I thought the pick was decent. Derwin was a much higher rated player on my board, so I mean mm-hmm. Derwin would have been the pick if I were making the call, but I get it.
I get
what they were
it.
Doing.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that that I've got to remind people is that, and we talked about this on the live stream if you listened, just because they didn't pick maybe the guy that you wanted, or even if you ask me, I mean, like if you ask me, hey, would James have been a better pick? I would say yes. Because
for 2018 because especially,
I,
right?
Well, right, and because I think James is a better player. And so James would have been the pick to me, but that doesn't, just because I think they should have taken James doesn't make Vea like a zero, right. Like an F right. of a grade, right. You know? Yeah, and so, right. like, I get, is it a little bit early to pick a complimentary player, which I ultimately kind of think Vita Vea is? Yeah, that's why he was rated lower on my board, but I get it for what they're doing, and if you're really like looking into the future, which you can't put a ton of weight into, but I mean, you do have to do it a little bit as an exercise, there's a lot of really, really good interior defensive linemen that are coming out next mm-hmm. year, and if you want your McCoy replacement, there's a crap ton of really good three techs.
Yeah.
So, like, this all might actually work out in the grand scheme of things. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you necessarily that like you put a lot of weight into that for a draft that's happening right now, but right. I'm just saying in the grand scheme of things it might end up being something working out because the timing might work out better.
Here's one thing too to consider. And we've bantied about the idea of a 3-4 defense over the past year or so. And right now with their personnel they're going to be a 4-3 team with JPP
Absolutely,
and Vinnie Curry and all of that.
Yeah, with JPP for sure.
But here's the thing. Having a player like Vita Vea allows you and we know that the future of this team is Quan Alexander in terms of the defense, right? Mm-hmm. And Levante David's not going anywhere anytime soon with that long-term extension. They like Kendall Beckwith, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen the propensity for Mike Smith to dabble in a 3-4 or 3-3-5 to give teams a different look. I don't necessarily think that's going to go away. They may not have to use it as much this coming year because they have much better personnel in their front four. But what it does is maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, if Smith's not here, and maybe Dirk Cutter's still here. Maybe there is a different defensive coordinator that comes in that wants to shake things up and go to that scheme. Mm-hmm. And with Vita Vea, you already have the linchpin that you need to run a 3-4, which is a dominant nose tackle, a dominant zero tech up front.
I think that
so it gives this team, not just in 2018, but in years to come, flexibility.
All I know is if I see one time this year Gerald McCoy and Vita Vea running stunts around each other, I'm gonna have a stroke up in the press box.
I think
you've got eight guys essentially. You've got two defensive lines right now. That there's no need to get kooky.
I've got some company news for you. All right. The news is that Jay Hayes was fired, and thank they got Brinson you, Buckner.
Jesus.
Okay. And I just based on that.
Right on. I've, slick.
Yeah, that's good. Based on that, I've got some pretty good feelings.
I can't let this go. Oh, that was awesome. You know, somebody made it. We didn't get fired. Ha ha. So all of a sudden they get real cocky on Twitter with you, slick. Oh, that
that was in private message though. That wasn't public consumption.
The irony.
I like the idea of, like I said, I think Vea is a fine pick. I mean, I didn't think it was a home run. I don't even know if it'd be great. I mean, they would kind of have to really prove his worth, and I think that Vea's still got to get a lot better at using his leverage. He is a dude who is a nose tackle. Yes. Leverage is important, and Vea just hike, pop straight up. So, mm-hmm. like, that's something he's got to get a lot better at if he wants to be effective.
And he tackles high, too.
Right, and you know. So, I like Vea's potential, but I wouldn't even say it's a great pick. But the thing about Vea is, like you were saying, they're getting a little creative with 3-4, like, in my mind, something that I've watched a lot of really good NFL teams over the last couple of years do, and the Eagles are especially known for this, I envision a formation where, hey, it's, you know, God willing, they have a couple of these this year. Let's just say, like, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11, defense still on the field, and you go JPP, then a gap, Vea, McCoy, Curry, and then you put in Noah Spence as the Sam linebacker, and mm-hmm. he's a stand-up blitzer, and you're bringing five. Imagine that, those five mm-hmm. coming at you.
Yeah.
Not stunting, not blitzing. The just ball is hyped, and boom. all five of those guys are going kill.
Yeah.
That's I think Vea allows you to have more, obviously, control over the middle of the trench to be able to determine where some of the double teams go, which is a good thing overall for the grand scheme. And it allows you to, hopefully, when they get more aggressive with blitzing, starting using to Noah Spence. I really hope they use Noah Spence as a stand-up guy this year. And that is my thing about Vea that I think could be a big bonus, is that if you've got Vea in the game and if you can control where the double teams are going, that means that Spence doesn't necessarily have to have, like, his hand in the ground because he's got to play somewhat of a contain.
Right.
You can let Spence truly just come from a stand-up spot, have him point, have his shoulders already pointed at the quarterback,
come
off
the edge,
and
he
can just go straight into it. And I envision those five guys coming after the quarterback, and I go, that's a really, really good five arsenal to go after the quarterback. And so I hope that with the Vita Vea pick, I think it's solid. I think it's a good pick. Again, like, not great or anything like that. It still needs a lot of work, but I think that it has potential in how it could pay off.
I mentioned Quan Alexander earlier, mentioning Vita Vea on Twitter and mm-hmm. giving him a shout out. Welcome to Tampa. And the other thing too is if you look back last year, Quan Alexander had 0 sacks, and he had 3 sacks, I believe, in each of his first two seasons in Tampa.
That can't happen again.
That can't happen again. And just the size alone, we got a chance to meet Vita Vea. All right. 6'4", 347. He actually doesn't look that big in some respects because he carries his weight so well. It's not like he's got this big, huge pot belly, but he is just a massive man. The other point I'll make is this. Mark, when was Warren Sapp drafted?
1995.
When did Warren Sapp truly become Warren Sapp? Was it in 95? 99?
No.
It was 97, right? That's when he became a Pro Bowler, right?
That's when he hit the double-digit sack mark. Yeah,
exactly. He made strides in 96, 95, a couple splash plays, rotated with Santana Dotson. It takes defensive linemen, especially tackles, a year or so to develop. What better way to have Vita Vea develop where he doesn't have to come in and have the pressure on him as a rookie to be a down-in, down-out starter? He can be that Clint McDonald guy and rotate with Bo Allen at nose, with Gerald McCoy at 3-tech, help prolong Gerald's career, help prolong Gerald's season this year, get the teaching that Gerald's going to teach, because Gerald's that kind of guy. He'll take him under his wing and school him up. And I don't think that you want to draft the defensive tackle when you need a defensive tackle. You want to draft the defensive tackle a year or two before you need one to allow that player to develop. And I'm just talking about any defensive tackle. I'm talking about using a premium pick on that.
I agree with what you're saying, But you're talking about developing a guy two or three years down the road when I think Derwin is a plug-and-play guy.
Right.
There's no developing that guy. He'll get better.
Hell.
But there's an immediate impact.
Trust me. I mean, as many interceptions as Justin Evans gave up or as he created last year, he gave up plenty of touchdowns, yeah, too. There's going to be a development.
No, there's no doubt.
It's just that you're going to see Derwin on the field every single snap as a rookie, where you're not going to see that with Vita Vea.
Yeah.
But Gerald McCoy didn't play every snap either. Okay, he doesn't. He plays about 85% of the snaps.
It's just tough because, I mean, you recognize that Vea is a complimentary piece. And,
yes,
like, that's kind of what it is. And that's why you get a little, you know, again, it's not the worst pick in the world at 12, because I think in the long run it can really help a lot of the other things they do. But, right, I mean, like, I would have even taken Nathan Shepard. Like, Nathan Shepard's higher.
You and I love Nathan Shepard. Yes, we do.
Than Vita Vea was.
Yeah. And so, I think he's more of a three tech, too.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, those are the kind of players I think you target in top 15s, top 20s. But, and so, like, in that sense, yes, I think there could have been other decisions there that would have been better. I'm not here caping that the Bucs can do no wrong in their picks. But now that the pick is in, now that it is Vea, you can see where it could pay off. And does it have the ceiling of a top 12 guy that you might want?
Yeah.
Maybe no.
All right.
But
who is your favorite pick out of all of these, based on value, based on player, based on where they got him, anything? Like who would you say is your favorite? Like, I like the player, and I like where they got him, and I think he's going to be an absolute stud for the Buccaneers.
The biggest payoff could be Carlton Davis, but I also love Ronald Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two for me. Carlton Davis, and I'm going to get into this. This is what this week's Cover 3 is going to be about. It's going to be about, I haven't decided whether I'm just going to go full all in on Carlton Davis and what he could mean for the Buccaneers, or if I'm going to combine it with MJ Stewart as well. Mm-hmm. Just talk about both corners.
But you realize it's Tuesday today, right?
Yeah.
He still hasn't decided what he's going
to
do.
Yeah.
He needs to hurry up, doesn't
I mean,
he?
You know, it's supposed to come out tomorrow. It's supposed to come out today, but tomorrow morning, that's fine. Wednesdays
listen,
are good.
Listen.
And he still hasn't
it's gonna,
decided.
Listen.
Do you just like get it your typewriter? And he still uses the typewriter because he's a hipster. So, and then he mimeographs it, and then he imports it into Xerox.
We need to upgrade the budget so I don't have the typewriter to
you. You're a hipster. You like the typewriter. You like the tick, 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 tick.
What I do for, ding, like, the Cover 3 is, like, on Mondays and Tuesdays, I'll watch a bunch of, like, random film of these dudes, and then, like, Tuesday night or something,
inspiration
I'll go, like,
strikes.
Whatever
there
hits
it
you.
Is. I'm just going to just start writing.
You're like a preacher getting ready to write a Sunday sermon, whatever the
we
Lord
we get a text.
Yeah.
However the Spirit moves.
There you
is,
go.
We get a text around 3 in the morning saying, Cover 3's done.
Like, last week it was.
I always get that.
Last
who
week
in
was
the
like
blank is texting you at 3 a.m.? I was like, I don't know.
It's Trevor. The
probably
Cover 3
Trevor,
is done.
The only person who's ever texted me at 3 a.m.
But Carlton Davis is so much different than any Buccaneer corner that
thank
they have
God
had
that they stepped outside the box
and
got the type of corner they needed.
I
thank
have a
God.
Good friend of mine, Danny Kelly. He writes for The Ringer. He covers the NFL for The Ringer. And he just DM'd me. He's like, what did you think about the Bucs class? And I said, I thought it was very good. And the reason why I think it's very good is not necessarily because I thought they picked like the top talent they could have at every pick, but they chose to pick guys they don't normally pick that they've often needed.
Yes.
And that's Carlton Davis, I think, when you ask me
that's Carlton Davis to a T.
Right. And that's why when you ask me what my favorite pick is, it's Carlton Davis. Because long have the Buccaneers needed a guy like this, and I truly hope he succeeds. There are some things that he obviously still needs to work about his game. He needs to hone in on being more aggressive with certainly takeaways, with certain ball skills that he has, and I'll get into this a lot more.
He seems a little content to knock the ball down rather than try to make a play.
And that's something that, but again,
you know
that
what?
You hope
I don't care. The way we've seen these cornerbacks, they're content letting guys catch the ball 5 yards in front of
that's
them and
true.
Coming up and making a tackle.
That's
shit,
true.
If you're knocking the ball down, I'm all for it.
Yeah, right.
And so
true.
There you go. That's, I think, the Carlton Davis. And then Ronald Jones, they haven't had a home run threat, I think, like him in – again, you know, you talked about this in the mailbag, Cadillac Williams. I mean, this kind of like a – I'm trying to think of when they had a legit home run threat at running back. Am I missing somebody obvious?
I mean Doug had some long runs.
Doug kind of was, but Doug was
when
still –
when he was dialed in on a good
Doug
season.
Doug was still much more of a, you know, an all-around kind of break some tackles, have some speed too. But like Ronald Jones is truly like
he's
you put
a
this
home
guy in
hitter.
The game, this might go 70
that's
yards.
That's right. On any play.
It's second gear.
And it's not
and
maybe
it's not even a little
just
bit of a third gear
the thing about
sometimes.
Ronald Jones with being a home run hitter is a lot of times you get these home run hitters and you go, okay, well, that's all they are. If they don't hit a 70-yard run on here,
it's
they're going
down. It's a strikeout, and that's not. He'll get you singles and doubles
Jones.
And triples.
So those are two picks I really
how about you, Mark?
You know what my favorite pick was?
What's your favorite pick?
T.A. Mahoney's, one of our great sponsors here at the Pewter Nation podcast. Mike Mahoney and his family have been in business since 1946. Guys, I know you don't have boats, but we all dream of owning boats, right?
Yes.
If you have a boat and you need your boat repaired, you need your trailer repaired, you need your lights fixed, you need some fiberglass, you need some supplies for the boat, you need a safety whistle, you need an air horn, you need a paddle, you need oil, you need everything. Listen, if they don't have it in the marine supply industry, just quit looking because they don't make it. T.A. Mahoney's located on Adamo. Make sure to go check them out. You can reach them online at tamahoneyco.com. 813-241-6500. That's 813-241-6500. T.A. Mahoney, a proud sponsor, a good guy. Support local business. Do it at T.A. Mahoney Company in Tampa. Tell Mike and the crew over there that Pewter Report sent you, and thank them for sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. Now, I wish you would have asked me that question before you asked Trevor, because really, I'm just going to duplicate basically what he said.
Okay, that's fair.
I really like Jones a lot.
Those
I
are
mean,
two really good picks.
Darius Geis is a guy that, and that's a question mark that we're still wondering what the deal was there. Look, on paper, on tape, I probably would have preferred him, and I think most people would have too. Obviously, the Buccaneers didn't, but there's something more behind the scenes that we just don't know about. There has to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but he was behind. He was my third running back, right? You have Barkley, you had Geis. Then I really like Jones a lot there, even more so than Nick Chubb. I know you were a big Nick Chubb. Mm-hmm. And we know mm-hmm. the Buccaneers like Nick Chubb yeah. a lot too, but I really like
somebody
what he brings, that home run
this.
Element that Trevor talked about.
Do you think that they would have picked Nick Chubb if he was there? Because he wasn't there. I mean, they yeah. picked Rojo yeah. because Sony Michel and Nick Chubb weren't there. Do you think they would have picked Nick Chubb?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know either. They liked both guys.
Well,
they
I think to the person that asked me this, if you're listening, I think that as time goes by, we might be able to find out that answer.
Yes.
I don't know right now. I'm inclined to say yes, but I'm not sure.
I'm just glad they didn't take Sony Michel because, again,
well, I mean, he wasn't there either.
I know. That's what I mean. I'm glad he was gone because they would have taken him. And then, you know, like I said a couple weeks ago, I mean, I don't like foreign products and men with girls' last names.
Sony Michel is American made. He was born in the States.
Sony is Japanese, dude. I've got a TV that's a Sony.
Okay.
So,
just saying.
What if his name was Toyota? If his name is Toyota Michelle, are you going to tell me he's an American product?
If he was born in the U.S., then yes.
Well, I need to see a birth certificate. I'm a birther. I'm going to start a thing. I don't believe Sony Michelle is an American. I'll say this. Sony Michelle cannot be president of the United States because he was not born in the United States.
Speaking of first-round running backs, I think the Buccaneers were very glad to see Rashad Penny go in the first round of Seattle. Listen, I was a Rashad Penny fan. He is not a first-round pick by any stretch of the imagination.
Rashad Penny or Rojo would have been way better.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. For Seattle to take a running back and still leave Nick Chubb and Rojo on the board for the Bucs in the second round to consider?
Seahawks just want Russell Wilson to die.
Did Seattle move back?
Yes, they did. They traded back.
Because I think I read that they were prepared to take Penny.
They would have taken Penny at 18.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just insanity. But again, I mean, you're right.
This Penny team, might be one of the worst pass protecting running backs in the draft. That's what you mean by Russell Wilson is going to die.
They needed offensive line help, and instead they picked a running back who can't pass.
The one team who's drafted the least amount of offensive linemen in the last, I don't know, I think I saw it 15 years, is Seattle.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Of course, I mean, again, they've got a guy that's hard to bring down and hard to hit. He's the most mobile quarterback right now in
but
the
he's
NFL.
He's constantly running for his life.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He is.
He makes dynamic throws doing that. He's just an amazing guy. I mean, maybe he's – what if they had the Dallas Cowboys offensive line in Seattle?
I feel like
– I don't think Russell Wilson is the quarterback that he is.
I feel like if Russell Wilson wasn't on Seattle, Pete Carroll would have been fired a long time ago.
Totally.
Because they just don't protect him.
Agreed.
Front office would have been gone.
I think he was almost fired this year. I mean, they got rid of their defensive.
They should have fired him immediately after he decided to pass on the goal line.
Yes.
And Matt, can you imagine
Marshawn
working
Lynch
a whole
that.
Year, getting that close?
Yeah.
All you got to do is run it.
That's
all you
got to
do.
As
you
bad
have
as
Lynch. You have Lynch.
Here's the thing, too. It gives
it's
you
like having Mike. Alstott.
It gives you like that. What's a plausible deniability? It's like. If you question that, well, why didn't you throw the ball? We were on the 1 yard line. I've got Marshawn Lynch. It's the perfect cover.
Yeah.
Either Lynch gets in and you win the game and beat the Patriots, or he doesn't, and then you say, "Listen here, Mr. Hotshot Journalist, like, what do you want us to do on the 1 yard line?"
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch, did you not see the run that got us down here?
Right.
We've got Marshawn Lynch to hand the ball to. Beast mode. Like, you know, I'm going to bet on that guy every day of the week.
I'm the one guy that one defends yard. Pete Carroll a little bit on that. I still think it was idiotic because it is Marshawn Lynch and you're at the 1 yard
line. Hindsight says that you're wrong, Mark.
But I completely agree. I'm wrong. But everybody in that building expected Marshawn. I mean, it's like, remember when Mike Allstott actually got stopped on third and ones and fourth and ones in his career.
Yes.
Because everybody knew exactly what they were going to do. Yes. So,
but more often than not, Mark Allstott, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah. Mike Allstott totally banged it in and scored so many times. I remember the 2-point conversion to win it in regulation against the Washington Redskins, you know, in 2005. I mean, that was a gutsy move by Gruden to go for the win right there, and he did.
You know? And he was stopped initially.
And then I think he backed his way in the end zone or something.
Yep.
My pick for
wait. Let me just mention the Carlton Davis just to piggyback on what he said. Absolutely love the fact that they went with a bigger,
I wish he was drafted ahead of MJ Stewart.
You
listened that would
to
have
the,
been the order
you listened to
me.
to the interview with him immediately afterwards too. Yeah.
He's my new favorite player. I mean, from one conference call interview.
I hope it's not a crappy number.
He is my favorite guy.
If it's something in the 30s, I'm going to be so mad. I hate corners who wear numbers in the 30s.
I don't want him to wear 27. I didn't like Jonathan Banks. I don't ever want to see a cornerback wearing 27 in a computer anymore. I don't know why. Sorry.
Does somebody
Jonathan.
Wear 23? Oh, Conti does.
Yeah. Well, I think Alex
Frazza.
What
did he wear in college?
Six. And I would love for him to wear a single digit number, but the NFL is not fun. So
yeah, definitely.
We're kind of fun.
We're gonna tell you what numbers you can. Why? Yeah. Why?
They.
So the refs can tell who what position it is.
Wow, these are professional referees.
Are NFL refs. Really?
Right?
Really? Let Vita Vea wear number one.
Right. Because at the high
giant
school.
Giant ass dude wearing number one.
On,
how
man.
Funny
hold
would
on.
That be?
Because no, at the high school and college level, the refs have no idea, right?
Right.
Okay, like they're clueless. Right. So the NFL is doing referees a service by saying, you know what? We're going to make offensive linemen be in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And we're going to make skill position
not
players
only that,
80s.
You can wear
and,
the same the number on offense and defense.
Just not on the same field
in,
at the same
college.
Time. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Darren James used to have to put on a different jersey when we returned kicks.
Yeah.
Because there were two guys on the field with the same number.
Kansas State, they had Dominic Heath was their punt returner, and they had another guy that
it's
had
just,
his number.
It's just the stupidest rule.
Who was one of like the vice guys on the outside. It was really good, but they had him as the return guy. So they had a jersey that had a zipper on it, and he would go to the sidelines. Seriously, and it was ingenious. And they would like slip this jersey on and just zip it up from the side when he would get their return punts because they had
Durbin
with the same number out there.
That's a thing we saw with Durbin. I don't think it was this year. I think it was last year. But he would run to the sideline and they would rip off, you know, he would put on a jersey real quick to return kicks. And then when he got on the field, you know, they would have to rip it off or vice versa. I can't remember which way it went. But you see that sometimes. Look, I mean, Carlton could wear six. I think he would just get fined every single week, right?
No. No,
they wouldn't.
No, Keyshawn Johnson wore 19. That's not a receiver number.
Yes, it is.
Well, yeah,
no,
it's a team now. Yeah, yeah. They made the exception. The, I
ten,
mean,
ten to
Chris
ten
Godwin's
to
12. You know,
10 to 19.
Yeah,
I thought back then he had to like pay money to be able to do that.
I mean, I don't know about back
I think,
then, but you
I think
can't,
they
you
changed
can't do that
it
now
for Keyshawn, and I think that's when they allowed.
Okay,
yeah. Get back
they
to,
don't
to
they
the
don't
teams.
Let you do it now
because Lance Allworth wore number 19 with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they allowed receivers. To where, you know, quarterback numbers and all that.
I just don't understand what the big
it's
deal
just
is.
Dumb.
It's
just
stupid.
It's still part of the no fun league.
There's
okay,
another
great.
Reason.
You laxed up on the end zone celebrations, but you're still no fun because you can't have Vita Vea at a number one
number
jersey.
Number one? How awesome would that be?
Right.
350-pound dude wearing number one?
Yeah.
Anything's better than 50.
With his full
that's
name?
The worst
50
is
cool.
With his full
no.
name?
I wish he was from Hawaii. It'd be like Hawaii 5-0. You know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, rest in peace, Daniel Tan Isom. It just makes me nervous.
The cursed number.
Yes, the cursed number.
Vita Vea is a lot smarter than Daniel Tan Isom.
Maybe, but
he's quiet. But he's. I think he's got more going on upstairs.
I hope so.
I'll say this: Alex Kappa is my favorite pick. I think that he is the player that. First of all, listen, we had him in four consecutive mock drafts. Like, he was the offensive lineman we forecasted the Buccaneers. We were all over him from the Senior Bowl on, right? Trevor, we're watching the Senior Bowl. We look at Alex Kappa. We said, that's a Buccaneer offensive lineman, is it not?
It was funny because around the Senior Bowl was the talk of Marcus Davenport going number 7 overall to the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And in the first rep of the first day, Alex Kappa was lined up at left tackle.
Yes.
Went up against Marcus Davenport for 3 straight reps and absolutely stoned heck out of him.
Yes.
3 straight times.
Yeah. But let's be honest. Kappa struggled in the game itself, gave up a sack and 5 quarterback pressures in the game.
No, Kappa, there's a reason. Listen,
yes,
folks.
But he's not a left tackle. He saw time at left guard, right guard, and right tackle.
Well, there's
in that
a reason why he's a 4th round pick. Like, people.
Third, technically. Yeah, they traded
Up
in the 3rd to get him.
Right. Okay. Right.
There's a reason he's a 3rd round pick.
There's a reason he's a late 3rd round pick.
No doubt about it.
People want to crown this guy like, oh, next small school, Ali Marpet. Easy. Marpet's.
He's a special
diamond in the rough.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, and Marpet was a 2nd round pick for a reason.
Right. And Kappa might be good.
Right.
But just.
I just like what the future of this offensive line looks like. Let's hope that Donovan Smith continues to get better and becomes a better left tackle. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then you
holding my breath.
Then you've got Ali Marpet at left guard. Then you've got Ryan
Passed
Jensen
out.
At center. And then you either have Caleb Benenock. Or Alex Kappa at right guard and right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the future of this offensive line. And if that's the case, I think from a running game standpoint and even pass protection, I think it's going to be pretty good for a long time.
Something I said with J.P. Peterson yesterday, I did his show on 6:20 in the afternoon, Peter Partner too, was, you know what, Kappa, Marpet, Jensen, all of a sudden – Jameis Winston's not going to have to go headbutt a guy himself. He's going to have 3 guys go headbutt for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a new attitude
no doubt about it.
On this
it's
offensive line with those 3 guys. And I love that. And you know what? The crazy thing is we had DeMar on our podcast at Ford's Garage a couple months back. DeMar is a quiet, nice, super Christian guy. But he's got a little bit of dog in him, too. You know
what
I mean?
He's got some mean streak.
He likes to start fights in training camps. He's already said, you know, that's his thing. He wants to get one started every year in training camp. So, I think Donovan's got a little bit in him. He's a little more teddy bear than you want,
right.
You know, over there. But I think those 3 guys can bring some of that out maybe in Donovan. And I think that's part of the reason the left guard – I mean – part of it is they're hoping Sweezy's back and Sweezy can't play left guard. Marpet's smart enough to move to left guard. But I think the idea of it, that really helps Donovan out. They want to see what Donovan is as a left tackle with a quality left guard. Because last year this team did Donovan Smith no favors at all with that stupid platoon system.
Great point.
Anyway, all right, we have got to get out of here. Now, I am very close to Wesley Chapel right now, guys.
Yes, you are.
Where's our favorite place in the world to eat in Wesley Chapel?
Ford's Garage,
Ford's
of course.
Ford's Garage. Where's our favorite place to eat when we're in Brandon?
Ford's Garage.
In West Chase.
Ford's Garage.
In Countryside.
Ford's Garage.
Soon to be in Orlando and Lakeland when we're over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
They're going to be all over the place.
Wow.
Ford's Garage Restaurant, a great concept. And I'm a Chevy driver, but I've never had my car egg there when I pull in there.
That's
really
good to know.
They're very kind to you can even drive a Toyota there and no one's going to get mad at you. But it doesn't matter.
If you go in there and have a burger and a beer, it doesn't matter what you drive.
That's right. All day happy hour, amazing drink specials, terrific food.
Angry Ginger.
Angry Ginger, named after me. I have no idea what's in it, but it makes me very, very happy. It takes the anger out of the ginger. When I get done drinking Angry Ginger, I feel like a mellow ginger.
There you go.
So when you go to Ford's Garage, make sure you tell them Pewter Report sent you. Grab an Angry Ginger. Grab yourself just a regular beer. They've got, you know, top shelf liquor. They've got basic liquor. They've got every kind of liquor you want at really good prices. Happy hour all day long. Terrific burgers. My favorite thing still is the salmon, the asparagus, and the rice. That's my favorite thing. They do a chili salmon. I prefer mine blackened with the Henry sauce on it, which is a lemon butter sauce on it. But it's really, really good and tremendous. A great healthy meal for you if you're trying to get a little healthier like I am at age 47. Make sure to check out Ford's Garage, multiple locations. They're on the web, of course. Tell them Pewter Report sent you, and we want to appreciate we want to thank them for being a sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Anything else, fellas?
USR's Fab 5 coming out on Friday.
Sure there is.
Yep.
I would take 2 weeks off after the draft. I don't know why you kill yourself.
I've got plenty to talk about.
Yeah, that's true. There is a lot to talk about
this
week.
In this podcast, this podcast could go 2 hours, but it's not.
So well, good.
My computer would shut down.
Yeah, oh, is that why you keep doing this right here? I thought maybe you were dancing.
No.
I thought maybe it was a Post Malone move. I prefer Karl Malone post-up moves myself. Do you know who Karl Malone is?
No, I do, and that was good. That was a good wordsmith right there. Damn, that was good.
The mailman, you delivered.
I delivered. Wow, see, there it is. We're keeping it going. Okay. Real quick, Friday, Pin Chasers on Armenia, another great sponsor.
Everybody go.
Terrific bowling event for the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. I've got three. The Jameis Winston Foundation donated an 8x10. A signed football card, and also one of his action figure things. That's going to be autographed. We're going to raffle those away. We've got some other prizes, including a $100 Columbia Restaurant gift card, a Ford's gift card that will be raffled away. Plenty of raffles. We're going to have some players out right now. Darius Taylor, formerly Glanton, is going to be there. My son, Alan Cross, is going to be there. TJ Reeves from Buccaneer Radio Network. JP Peterson from 620 is going to be there, and a Lightning co-host.
The entire PR staff.
PR staff's going to be there. Ira Kaufman is going to be there. We've got some other people. Ian Beckles is going to drop by. So we're going to have, there's going to be more players too. We're just waiting on getting confirmations on that. So make sure you come out. $15 get you 2 hours of bowling. Also get you a slice of pizza and a drink. And anyway, it's going to be a good time raising money for the Humane Society. My mom, who passed away in January, that was her favorite charity. She loved the Humane Society. She loved animals. And we're going to try and raise a bunch of money for those guys. So come out, support the Humane Society, Pewter Report, and Pin Chasers this Friday from 7 to 9. You can go to pewterreport.com, check out the store. You can RSVP on our Facebook event page, or just put your name and how many people are coming in the comment section of the story. So we hope to see everybody out there on Friday night. Is that it, boys?
That's it.
That's it.
All right. Finally, we don't ever have to talk about the draft ever again. Depending on how the Buccaneers do, we may be talking about the draft in October.
Hopefully not.
Let's hope we can wait until at least January this year.
A welcome change if we didn't have to start draft talk until January.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, go to pewterreport.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. For Trevor Sikkema, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, saying we'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.